This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
On Money Talks, we discuss money news and take your questions about personal finance. For 15 years, we've provided free financial information for Mississippians. I hope you can join me, Dr. Nancy Lottridge Anderson, co-host of Money Talks, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. or anytime on our podcast.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Fix It 101, the home improvement show to help you do it yourself. Kevin Farrell here with Pam Pybus, ASHI certified inspector and inspect it like a girl. Licensed contractor Jeff Sammons from Houseworks is out this week. Today, we're going to put the focus on your home's plumbing to make sure that the water around your property is flowing properly. This includes addressing issues like leaky faucets, blocked pipes, runny toilets, and any other plumbing-related concerns. So in the studio this morning, we've got Crockett Ford from Ford Plumbing and Gas to help with your plumbing problems. And as always, we're here for any other home improvement projects that you have going on. You can email fixit101 at mpbonline.org. Here's a reminder, Fix-It 101 re-airs Saturday mornings at 9. It's right before the Gestalt Gardener, which comes your way Saturday mornings at 10. So good morning. Hope you're both doing well this morning. How are you doing, Pam?
I am awesome. And I'm so grateful we've got Ford Plumbing here today. I love these guys. But I wanted to share a boo-boo that happened to me yesterday that kind of has to do with plumbing. Let's just say I left the owner with a really clean floor. I was testing those crazy Whirlpool tubs. Are those your favorite thing, Crockett, a Whirlpool tub?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, this was an older one. It was probably put in the 90s. I don't know when the crazy thing was put in. And the owner was there. I was doing it for a buyer, and the owner was there, and he and I were talking. Nice guy. Really, really nice guy. So he and I are having this conversation, and so he was going to leave and go get him some lunch, and I'm standing in the master bathroom and filling up the tub. This enormous, enormous Whirlpool tub. And you know what I forgot to do before I turned it on? Redirect the jets. They never... And I mean, this thing was powerful. So when I turned it on, water started flying everywhere. I mean, it was everywhere. It was all over the walls and all over the floor. And then, of course, I'm in a panic. You know, the water's just going crazy. I'm panicking. And it occurred to me all I needed to do was reach over there and push the button, but it was on the other side of the tub. Why do they do that? Why do they put the button way on the other side of the tub? And it was an enormous tub. I basically had to swim to the other side to turn. So I took a bath at this house, a jet tub bath yesterday. I got it off, and then I cleaned it all up. I called the owner. I said, I'm so sorry. And boy, that floor was shiny and clean when I left. But when stuff like that happens, I mean, it just happens, doesn't it, Crockett? I mean, when you're dealing with water, it just happens. So I left him a note and apologized and cleaned everything up. And, you know, anyway, that was my plumbing story for yesterday.
Got an early caller on the line, so let's go to the hub city of Hattiesburg. Jim has called in today. Good morning, Jim. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. First of all, this is not a plumbing question, but I am having an issue at my daughter's house getting a light fixture cover removed. It is one of those fluorescent kitchen lights that's flush mount with a wooden frame, and I want to change the bulbs, but there are no screws on the outside of the frame, and I have tried moving it from side to side to see if it will just drop down. That hasn't worked. There are two loop cables sticking out at the ceiling from the frame. And I have not been able to, I assume that they might be a release or would activate a release, but that has not worked either.
Is it a pliable?
Do you have any suggestions?
Well, is it a pliable cover? I mean, is it, can you, I guess the best word to say here on the radio, can you squish it in?
Well, the problem with that is that the diffuser is encased with a like a frame, like there's a wooden frame underneath the diffuser.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of holding it in. You know, I had a similar problem, one with a light. It was with the drawer underneath my washing machine, and because I've got a stand on it. And I ended up going to YouTube and putting in, you know, how do I remove, and the, I gave the type. And, I mean, son of a gun, it just showed me, like, in 2 minutes how to undo the screws and get that out. Because it could be that there's a secret hidey little door at one end that will flip up and it just slides out. But you have to, like, stand on your head and count to three and hold your tongue a certain way to know how to get to it and get it off. But that would be my suggestion on that particular problem, because I, with well, the, you know, here on the radio, I'm having a hard time seeing it.
Right. I understand that. And believe me, this is the last resort that I investigated. But, hey, I do have a plumbing question also. I have a leaky faucet in my bathroom, and it just kind of drips constantly. You know, I assume it's a washer. I think it's a Delta faucet with two handles, one for cold, one for hot. So what's the best way to figure out which one of those might be the one? Just cut it off underneath and then see which one stops the water flow and go from there?
Turn your stop valves off down below. And thankfully, Delta, they're really good with their repair parts. So most lavatory or bathroom sink faucets take, most of the time, take the same type of what's called a stem. And that'll have, it has two O-rings built into it. So if it's leaking out of the handle, around the handle, you'll replace the stem. If it's dripping out of the spout, you'll replace it. It's kind of an all-in-one repair part. But if you just, sometimes you can call Delta and they'll actually send you those stems, but you can get them from Lowe's or Home Depot. Usually they're $15 or $20 for the stem. And then you'll also want to change underneath that stem. There's a seat and a spring. You'll want to, when you take the handle off, there's a little nut that you'll take off and you'll pull that stem out. And then underneath that stem, there's a seat and a spring that you'll pull out. Replace those two things and then put a new stem in, put your nut back on and your handle back on. And that'll usually fix pretty much any, you know, any kind of drip that that faucet might have.
Is there a kit for that, Crockett? Can you buy those at the big box stores, like a Delta kit that would be specific to that?
They might come in a kit with the stem and the seat and the spring. We always get them separate, but I honestly don't know. They might come in a kit, kind of with everything that you need. You can a lot of times we'll just go ahead and do the hot and the cold. But if you wanted to isolate to determine which one it is, you can turn off the cold, see if the drip stops. If it doesn't, turn off. You know, you can kind of isolate it that way. Or you can just go ahead and change both. But, that's what I would do is just that, you know, like I said, you can Google Delta faucet stem, and most of them take that same stem.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a different cord for, you know, I mean,
parts. There are different ones, but I would say probably 90% of Delta bathroom faucets take the same thing.
I like the idea of doing them both. I mean, if you're doing it, just go ahead and do them both.
That's what I would say.
All right, Jim, thanks for your call. This is Fix It 101 on MPB Think Radio. Let's get an email in here before our first break. This one I think is two questions. It says, we have a hot spot that has practically turned into a hot floor in the bathroom and part of the bedroom attached to the bathroom.
Row.
Also, the cold water, when first turned on, runs hot instead of cold. What could be the cause of this, and should we call a plumber? The house is on a slab.
Okay, the first one, the hot spot in the floor. Typically, when we see that, unfortunately, what that could mean is that there is a hot water line under your slab that could be leaking and heating up that floor. We have definitely seen that before. That's what that sounds like. Now, the hot water coming from the cold fixture, what that probably is, to be honest with you, probably you have water lines up in the attic, and the heat in the attic is heating up that water line. And when you initially turn it on, because that attic sometimes can be, especially in the summer, can be 120, 130 degrees.
At least.
At least, yeah. It'll heat that water line up pretty warm. And so you'll turn it on, it'll be hot, and then eventually it'll kind of flush out all that hot water and it'll get cold again. So that's not really a plumbing issue as much as it is just a Mississippi issue, and it's just hot.
It's just hot.
Yeah.
Boy, and I tell you what, you end up with a leak in your slab. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
One of the ways that whenever you diagnose something like that, Crockett, do you guys like go to the meter outside to typically diagnose that?
Yeah, you can go to the meter and you know, pull your lid off, and you'll find a little dial. And a lot of times they're pretty dirty, so just wipe it off, and there will be a little small red kind of triangle spinny thing. If that thing is constantly spinning, that means water is constantly going through that meter, and that there's probably a leak
somewhere. Yeah. I did that the other day. I was putting in I've got my new refrigerator supposed to be here Monday. Thank God. I'm living in one of those tiny little refrigerators. It has just been, I mean, there's only so much you can cram into a tiny little refrigerator. So that thing's coming in on Monday, and I pulled out my old refrigerator and realized I didn't have there was no valve for the water line. It was a direct connect, mm-hmm. which means you have to turn the water off to the entire house.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I got Crockett and them hooked me up with a little, what's that like? You said it was
called a needle valve.
A needle valve. Mm-hmm. So I had to go out to my meter and I did exactly what you said. I pulled it off, cleaned it off, and I saw the little spinny thing and it wasn't moving. So I turned the water off. Yeah. I went back inside. I installed my little shutoff valve.
Yeah.
And then I went back outside, turned the water on, and I stood there and watched it. To see if it was spinning in any way, because it could have been leaking back down in I'm in a crawl space.
Yeah.
That's how you diagnose any type of a plumbing leak is. And sometimes what you have to do is use your cell phone, take a picture of the spinny thing, walk away from it.
Yeah. Now, sometimes it's real slow.
See, when I had my plumbing nightmare just a couple of weeks ago, Jason had told me that Jeff had that method. And so what I did there, I opened up the water meter and it was the little container was already full of water. So I said, that's probably not a good sign.
In this drought, there shouldn't be any water in your in your meter.
Yeah. Unless you just run irrigation a whole lot.
Yeah. And a lot of folks have been doing that. Yeah. We had that conversation last week. My yard's just brown.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
So, Crockett, we appreciate you helping us out this morning. Give us a little bit of on your background. Have you always been someone that you consider yourself to be kind of handy?
No, not necessarily. I guess, you know, growing up, didn't really do a whole lot of, you know, fixing stuff. I just, you know, went to school pretty much. Definitely didn't think I was going to be a plumber. And then, I guess, so my brother got into plumbing first, and he was working here in Jackson for a plumbing company, and I was in college and decided maybe I thought I might wanted to be an electrician. So I went to an electrical school for a year, and then finished that up and got into plumbing.
Joined the brother.
Been
he needed help,
since.
Didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
He was blowing and going.
Yeah. So, just I don't know. It just kind of just fell into it, really.
And one of the things that I love about Ford Plumbing is that they're doing a lot in helping young people getting into the trades. So, you know, I'll look over there. I can remember when your brother, it was just him and his truck.
Yeah.
I remember that because he lived in my neighborhood. Yeah. And now, how many trucks have you guys got?
There's total 11 employees, and we have, I'd say we probably run consistently, four, five trucks a day.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've done with them is we partnered to help. I was finding in a lot of my home inspections that I was recommending that folks go ahead and get a sewer scope. And I'm going to let Crockett kind of address what that is. But whenever your foundation is moved or if the home is older, mm-hmm. it's to me, it's just common sense to go ahead and get the line scoped so you know what the condition is. Mm-hmm. And actually, your brother approached me about doing this. We had talked about it on and off through the years. But now, like when you call to schedule a home inspection with us, if the home is older than 30 years old, we can go ahead and schedule them to come in at the same time that we're there inspecting the house. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing that for about a year now, and I've found it to be really, really helpful with the clients. But why don't you explain to them what a scope is on a sewer line?
So, a lot of people don't know about drains and sewer lines. You know, it's kind of a new thing when we tell them, hey, you know, this thing could be old, or if you, like Pam said, if you have foundation issues, you know, there could be an issue here. And a lot of people don't really know much about it. So, essentially, your house, you know, you got clean water coming in and drains taking that water out. So, we definitely recommend having those inspected, because if there is an issue, if it's under the slab or if it's the sewer line going out to the street, that can get pretty expensive, those repairs. And if you don't know about it, eventually a line can get stopped up. And if it's the sewer line, you know, your whole house is backed up, can't run water. So, you know, essentially what we do is we come in and get it with a camera and look at as many lines as we can, depending on, you know, the access we have. So if you have a clean out in your front yard, which is that white pipe thing sticking up out of the ground with a cap on it, we'll go through that. We'll look at it with the camera. If the house is old and the sewer line has not been replaced, you could have a concrete sewer line or a clay sewer line or even just an old cast iron sewer line. And those definitely are getting to where they're wearing out if they're still there. And so roots can get in. They can sometimes just be really rough and catch stuff. There's really several different types of issues you can have with them. But you kind of want to be proactive with drains, just because it can cause a mess. If it eventually does start to stop.
I got tickled the other day. We were doing a sewer scope, and it was a home maintenance inspection. And I'm doing a ton of those now for the homeowners. And we just go in and inspect the house and, you know, do some consulting with them about what their big deals are. And I looked over, and Crockett's on his knees with this contraption, and he runs a tube down into the sewer line, and it's got eyes on it, and then he's got this camera, this screen, so you're seeing everything that he sees, and all four of them were over there looking over his shoulder, and he's like giving a lesson on the sewer line. It was so fun. I was impressed and had compassion for him at the same time, because that's a lot of stress right there with folks watching you, but it was very informative. I mean, and that case, they had had some foundation movement, but there were no particular issues with it. Several years ago, I had Crockett come in and do my sewer line because there had been C-Spire, the fiber optic people, had run lines through our neighborhood. And I had, as an inspector, had experience where they had ruptured some lines in another neighborhood, and they had this catastrophic backup. And I thought, I'll pay you to come over here and just scope my line to let me know if there's been any damage before they leave the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it was, and as a bonus, he had some time that afternoon and he installed my toilet. You remember that? You put that bidet in for me, and I still say that's the best purchase I have ever made.
You're listening to Fix It 101 on MPB Think Radio. Looks like we have a caller from Memphis, so we say good morning to Tom. Tom, you're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Now, last winter, we had those five consecutive days where it never got above freezing, and it just played havoc with the house I have in the country that I'm not at all the time. It's an older home and has that C PVC pipe in it. And it got so cold it actually broke the toilet bowl on the bathroom that's against an outside wall.
Oh, my goodness.
And yeah, it shattered a bunch of that pipe. And so I've been replacing it a bit at a time. And I had covered it with the foam insulation that you get at Lowe's, but that did not save it. And I had let it drip, but I didn't let it drip enough, I guess. So there's some areas that are difficult to get to. And I've seen this this Plex stuff seems to be more robust. Should I try to change out the CPVC with Plex, do you think?
Yes. So CPVC gets old and very brittle.
Very brittle.
And, I mean, to the point where when you even when you just go to cut it, it just snaps pretty much. It just can't.
That's what it does. And I thought I cut it with one of those pipe cutters. Snap.
Right, right. So PEX, it is kind of one of the, I think, one of the biggest benefits of PEX is when it does freeze, it can take, it can actually expand, and so it won't bust. So, yes, if you have a house that you're not at, you know, that you may not be at when it freezes and you don't want to worry about it as much, I would probably recommend taking that CPVC out and putting in PEX just because, like I said, it can take that freeze a lot better than CPVC. I'd say CPVC probably is the most brittle and is, you know, is the most likely to bust with a freeze.
Okay. All right. I'll take your advice to do that. Now, my other question, in the same house, it was kind of built haphazardly, and they put the there's a stall shower in the master bedroom that backs up against the shower enclosure in the other bedroom. Mm-hmm. And during that freeze, that the fixture for the stall shower also cracked, and so it's leaking right at the fixture, and I can't get to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to destroy the dang shower stall one on one side or the other to get at it.
Right.
Is it? And I was thinking, does somebody make like a big, what I call a scutcheon plate that is big enough to cover both of those fixtures, maybe some 4 or 5 inches tall and maybe 8 inches wide, with a rubber ring where I can take a little saber saw or something and cut out around that fixture and then break it out of there and then replace it and put something over it to cover that hole.
Right. They do make a big discussion that if you wanted to take out a three handle tub shower valve and put in just a single handle, it will cover those three. It's, you know, it's wide enough to cover those three handles, and it's pretty tall too. It's kind of a diamond shape though. I would just call it a kind of a retrofit discussion for you know, converting from three handle to single lever.
Convert from three. Okay.
Right. It would be, we've gotten them at Lowe's and Home Depot before. They'll be over near the, you know, the plumbing repair parts and stuff. It's pretty big. It'll stand out. You'll know kind of what I'm talking about, but there might be even bigger ones though online that'll, you know, that are taller and wider for this, you know, purpose. But I would, that's the biggest one I can think of.
Okay. Real good. Well, thank you for your advice. Appreciate it. Thanks, Tom, for your call.
You're listening to Fix It 101 on MPB Think Radio. It's the home improvement show to help you do it yourself. Kevin Farrell here with Pam Pybus, ASHI Certified Inspector at Inspect It Like a Girl. And our guest today is Crockett Ford from Ford Plumbing and Gas. Email the show by sending it to fixit101@mpbonline.org. Okay.
Crockett, this is Java here in the booth. Okay. I have a question because it always just, I don't know, bothers me, but it's just, why is it plumbing and gas? Why do you call the plumber if you have a gas problem?
Yeah. So I think that kind of originated a long time ago, probably before air conditioning, when it was just heaters. And even specifically, probably the old floor furnaces, the plumber would install those, and those were usually runoff gas. And so it would be the plumber kind of did both. They would install all the plumbing and then also the gas and the floor furnace. Well, then as air conditioning came along, got a little more advanced, it kind of split off into another trade. But the plumber kept the gas part of the job. And then the air conditioning and heating became, and some people do both, but that became another trade. But we do all the gas piping. We'll pipe all the gas to the appliances, and then air conditioning, obviously the air conditioner guy will work on that. If it's a range or something, appliance guy will work on that. But we'll handle the gas up to that
Supply
appliance.
Lines.
Yeah.
And do you have to get like certifications and
You can get just a plumbing license. Mm-hmm. But you can, most of the time people will get the plumbing and gas. They kind of go together.
Yeah. And we had a big conversation last week about if you smell gas in your house, who do you call first?
Yeah.
And so I advocated for the plumber.
Yeah.
Or whoever can get there first, I guess.
Yeah. Probably that. Yeah. Because, it really just depends. If it's bad, and you can get a hold of Atmos or CenterPoint, whoever supplies your gas, you might want to call them and they'll come over and just pretty much turn it off.
Yeah, they're going to yank that meter.
Yeah. And sometimes, they'll pull the meter off and then you kind of got to go through a whole process to get it back on. If it's just, here and there, you catch a whiff, I'd probably call a plumber. But if it's like you walk in and it hits you in the face and it's bad, you may want to call.
Go ahead and call the gas company.
Yeah.
It's good advice.
Safe. Yeah.
And the other reminder we had from last week is you run outside first, then you make the call.
Yeah. If it's real strong.
Yeah.
You definitely want to do that. But I had Ford Plumbing. They installed my, I had a heater put in my pool. I guess it's been about 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know if you were working with him at that time. But they ran a brand new gas line underneath my house. I'm on a conventional from one side of the house to the other and then hooked in. And then we had to the diameter of the gas line had to become larger because I was running more appliances then off the gas. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that's the trouble that you run into on a tankless water heater.
Right.
When people want to do that, you can, but you've got it. The expense comes if you've got to enlarge the gas line.
Right. Yeah. Tankless water heaters use a good bit more gas than the old tank style.
Back to the phone lines we go. Joe has called in from Tennessee this morning. Good morning, Joe. You're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Good morning. My question is, what causes the rattling in the pipes inside the walls when you turn on a faucet? And does that ruin the pipes eventually? And if that's the case, how can you fix it?
That's what we call water hammer. And that can be tricky. I would say probably. So what that is essentially the water is somewhere in your system. The water is being kind of throttled really quickly off and on. And it's kind of creating that vibration. Sometimes it can be actually a toilet. The fill valve in a toilet could be not closing all the way. So it'll let a little water through and it'll sit there and kind of vibrate. That probably is what it is. That's probably the most common cause. But honestly, it could be several things. They make a device called a water hammer arrestor that you could install into one of your water lines that will kind of take that vibration. And it's got like a little baffle in it, and it can kind of absorb some of that vibration. But if I had to guess, it's probably going to be a toilet. But again, there's several other things that can cause that too.
Can you put in a we talked about this once before? Can you put one of those little arresters on the valve of, like, let's say if it's happening at a sink, can he put it on the valve for the supply on that sink? Would you think that would be a place to start?
Yeah. I want to say they make little small ones that can go underneath the sink. They make them that can go under wash machine box. You probably really could put one just about anywhere. But if, you know, if typically it's happening because of something, you know, I don't know if water hammer ever just happens. And, you know, usually you can kind of figure out why and hopefully fix that, and then it'll usually go away. But if you just can't figure it out, then yeah, there are those arresters that you can install to hopefully minimize it.
You know, on new houses, and I had this problem with somebody. It was a brand new house, and they had a tankless water heater, mm-hmm. and they had the PEX lines, which mm-hmm. they're flexible.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like, well, they're flexible, like a rope,
mm-hmm.
and they hadn't strapped them.
Yeah.
And so every time they turned the hot water on, that thing would start whacking in the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You could check that. If it's a newer house with PEX in the attic, you could see if you can find where it's rattling, and they make little straps that you can hammer them into a joist or, you know, stud or something, and just secure that water line. That might would fix it.
All right, Joe, we appreciate your call this morning. Staying on the phone lines, we're off to Natchez. Lavada has called in today. You're on the air with us, so go ahead.
Good morning. I have a house that was built in 1940. It has cast iron exhaust pipe coming to the, you know, outside of the roof. So about a year ago, the bottoms where the cast iron takes a curb at, it cracked. So I fixed everything myself if I can. I put
That's
one of those
awesome.
Pipe clamps.
Well, you go, girl.
I'll put a pipe clamp on it and tighten it down, but I know I'm going to have some more troubles. But my question was, what does the insurance company cover on stuff like that? Do they cover stuff like that? And, when I was listening to you guys this morning, I thought to go grab my policy, but I don't even know if I have enough coverage if something was to happen.
You said you have a cast iron exhaust. Does that mean like for the
vent? I bet
for the plumbing system.
Yes. Well, it's outside behind the house, and it goes up through the rafter.
Yeah,
and I guess that's the exhaust line.
Yeah, so it's probably your plumbing vent pipe, meaning that it's attached to your plumbing system under your house, and it just gives it air. And you said when you had a 90 that broke on the bottom, was that under your house?
No, it was on the outside of the house, and I noticed that, you know, where you have that little screw-in thing at, and you unscrew it, I guess, to unclog it or whatever.
Oh, clean out?
Cracked right there. Yeah, you're clean out. Yeah, cracked right there. So I got one of those things and clamps and put around it and tightened it up. But
okay.
No, it's cast iron. What else do I have? Is how much more damage I'm looking at? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so insurance. I don't know a whole lot about insurance, but from what I've gathered over the years, they typically will not cover plumbing repairs. So if you have a water line that busts and it floods your house, they will cover the cleanup, they will cover the put back, they will not cover the plumbing repair. If your plumbing system is old, and you need it, and just say it all needs to be replaced. From what I've gathered, I don't think insurance will cover
any
of that.
No, they're not going to cover it. Mm-mm. And that's just part of, you know, we get into these old houses. Mine was built in 58, Lavada, and I was in it. I've been in it 30 years, and I was in it about 5 or 6 years. And, well, that's not necessarily true. I became a home inspector, and Crockett, one of the things they taught us in home inspection school is that if a cast iron pipe underneath a house is fuzzy, don't touch the fuzz. And so I'm crawling under my house, and I saw it, and I thought, I wonder.
Touch it.
Yeah, and I did, and it was
crumbled.
A huge mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it started pouring, and I was crab crawling out of there, screaming like a girl coming out of that house.
Yeah.
And I called. This was before I think Patton and Crockett were still in high school. It's been a minute. And I called my plumber over there. And what I ended up doing, I thought, if I'm going to have this repaired, why don't I just get it all replaced?
Yeah.
And so I just updated all of the, and I went ahead and did, I took out the galvanized supply lines and came in with PEX. And then I had actually had some more faucets put in on the outside of the house. But I went ahead with the PVC lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through and just did all my drains. The one place I didn't do them, and I'm sure this is going to cost me a lot of money one of these days, is where it goes out underneath the footings on the mm-hmm. house. Mm-hmm. It was just going to be so mm-hmm. hard to get there. So that's the only place. And then I redid my sewer line out to the street.
Yeah.
So, that's going to be on you, Levada, unfortunately.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know, because I'm sure that the land... Okay, so how much of the land is cast iron up under the house? All of it?
If it has not been replaced, yes, probably all of it.
Yeah, the house was built in 1940, so...
Okay,
well, thank you, guys. Okay,
appreciate it. All right, let's head right back to the phone lines. As promised, Warren is up next. You're on the air with us, Warren. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to... Is the electrician still on the... panel there with y'all?
We've got a plumber.
Well, I think he went to electrical school, right?
Well, yeah, that's right. That's right, Crockett. I
did. Now, that was years ago, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to help you too much, but I can try, maybe.
Okay. All right. One question. When you were in school, did any of the students ever ask who fixes the rates for electrical bills? When I first moved to Mississippi, I got on a fixed rate. My bill was like $95 a month. Now it's over $200. And I wanted to know who fixes the rates on that and why is it so high?
You know what you want to do, Warren, is if you – and I'm a nerd. I keep my bills. So what I want to look at is not the cost of the kilowatt – how many kilowatts, because you may have something else going on that's causing that rate to be higher. You want to look at your usage. So let's say 10 years ago, your usage, and I'm just going to throw out a number because I don't know. Let's say it was 10 kilowatts. All right. So you're paying for 10 kilowatts. Well, if you look at your bill today and you're paying for 10 kilowatts, that means that it's a rate. Mm-hmm. But if all of a sudden you're pushing 50 kilowatts, well, then there's something going on in the house that's causing you to use more power.
All right, Warren, thanks for calling. The other thing, I have the levelized billing, and that's it just levels it out so that you don't get spikes, you know, in the summer and the wintertime. And it generally stays about the same, but it has increased. But I would say in my power bill, I would within $10, $15 every month, one way or the other.
Yeah, if you do the level billing, that'll work. But you want to just look at your usage.
Right.
So, you know, there was a lot of usage this summer.
Right, yeah.
It was hot. Mm. And that's what you used more power. And so your bill's going to go up. So I always look at, and I don't do the level billing just for that very reason, because I want to see what my kilowatt hour, how much I'm using.
All right, Warren, thanks for the call. Let's move on next. We've got Ruth, who is calling us from Yazoo City. Good morning, Yazoo County, that is. Good morning, Ruth. What do you have for us?
Good morning. Well, this is kind of embarrassing, but there is a something called sodium polyacrylate. It's a liquid absorbing gel that is in diapers and such. And some accidentally got down my sink, and it was it's been there for weeks. Of course, it stopped the sink up, and I'm not able to, you know, get it out. And I looked on the internet, and it said salt will return the gel back to a liquid.
So we're having a little trouble hearing you. Crockett, are you kind of, do you know where she's going with this?
I don't. I don't know much about that. All I would say is, you know, what we would do is just run a cable or something down there to clear it out. I don't know much about like chemicals or anything that you could pour down it to hopefully break that up. I'm really not sure.
And it depends on how far it is. You could use you can go to the big box store and buy one of those. I keep one of them in my shop. But if it's way down there, you really need to get a plumber or find a clean out, I guess, that would be closer to it on something like that. Yeah.
But in that case, you're like physically knocking the blockage
from the pipe. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
You can always try my hot water thing, you know.
Pam, I have done your hot water thing, and it works wonders.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And I was going to ask Crockett, because I know, you know, you're a plumber, you have a certain expertise. Do the things on the shelf actual, do they provide any relief, you know, the liquid gels and the 10-minute is going to be gone guaranteed, yeah, or your money is back, yeah, you know. And then some of them come, you know, if you go to the big box store, they come in like a plastic bag, like, yeah, they don't want you to, with triple, yeah, X's on them.
We don't ever use those. I really don't know much about it. I would say probably they're all pretty similar, but if it's totally stopped up, like it won't drain at all, I find it hard. It might would work, but typically it by the time, you know, if it's totally stopped up, it gets so diluted just because the line's so full of water that it would, I don't know if it would work its way down and actually remove that clog, but... Pam, it sounds like you had some success with something.
Well,
with
I did sink. Because your brother was on the beach.
Yeah.
I called
so you had
him.
No choice.
I was like, Patton, I need some help with my drain. And he was like, Pam, I'm sitting on the beach. I can't. I was like, oh, man. And so, you know, so when you need the plumber, they're on vacation. Now, yeah, y'all are big enough, there's somebody that could come. But I was like, I'm just going to try this. And I took the biggest pots I had, mm-hmm, boiled is a ton of water, and I would pour that boiling water down the drain and follow that with some Dawn detergent.
Yeah.
And I did it four times, and the sink went whoosh.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
it wasn't a diaper.
Right.
So it was all cooking.
I will say, the baking soda is something that I have found success with.
You found successful?
With, the baking soda and vinegar mix, oh, yeah, I guess. Because like you said, Patton, I'm sorry, Crockett, at a certain point, it can just become too clogged.
Right.
But if you can, if you get it early,
yeah,
and have a little wiggle room, mm-hmm, I put some baking soda, the vinegar, let it fizz up, mm-hmm, old school volcano science project, let it fizz up a little bit, and then follow it with that hot water.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can, you know, try your drain, and it's like, okay, it's draining a little bit, do it again. Mm-hmm. Then next thing you know, you will get that whoosh, like, okay. We found a solution.
Yeah. And you know, Jeff isn't here, but you know what his solution is. Take out the garbage disposal.
Oh, you don't even have one of those to begin with.
I had them yank mine out. I don't even use mine anymore.
All right, we've got about a minute and a half left. Let's see if we can squeeze one more call in, and we'll go to Oxford. John has called in today. Good morning, John. We're a little pressed for time, so be brief if you could.
Okay, I have an older toilet, and the toilet bowl, the porcelain, is down under the water, has got, I guess, some sort of scale on it that is hard to get off, and in the above water places, there are a few little black dots, and I don't know what those are, but any suggestions about how to get rid of those?
Old toilet. Okay, so the way a toilet works is you have your tank, and when you flush it, that water in the tank comes down and goes usually all the way around the rim of that toilet, and there's little holes that we call jets underneath that rim of that toilet. If the toilet's really old, those jets can sometimes get clogged up just with like a deposit. If you have like a pick, sometimes I'll use a pick or something, you know, small to like kind of wedge up into those jets, it'll sometimes clean them out. It might flush better. I don't know if I understand the black dots.
No, it's not a flushing problem. It's just stuff that's on the porcelain in the bowl.
Like
the
a residue. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm not sure about the black dots.
Yeah, with the age on it, you may just want to call yourself a plumber and put in a new toilet.
Yeah.
What, pumice maybe?
Yeah, they make an old, like the pumice stone.
Yeah,
those are about the best thing for cleaning toilets.
Bidet, John, get you a bidet.
Yeah, I had a mysterious stain, and that really worked for me. So yeah, that's I feel important. I added to the conversation right at the very end. Fix It 101 is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio. It's funded by generous contribution from listeners. Our show was produced today by Jabba Chapman. So for Pam Pybus and our guest Crockett Ford, I'm Kevin Farrell. Up next, it's Everyday Tech, followed by Southern Remedy with Dr. Jimmy Stewart at 11. We'll be back next Wednesday at 9 for more Fix It 101. 101, heard only on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.